Today, we celebrate years of independence. We celebrate years of freedom over a quarter century. Isn't that amazing? Can you believe that? But what's odd, if you think about it, is there are many countries that are so much older than the United States. And, I mean, United States is a baby, considering some of the other nations. And what an amazing thing it is to, if you were to A-B them, to compare the United States with other nations, you'd be hard-pressed to not see the blessings of God on our nation, wouldn't you say? In the short time that we have been a nation, God has blessed us immensely. And that being because we acknowledged and honored him. Amen? Praise the Lord. On the 4th of July, we celebrate our nation's birthday. And it was a little over a quarter of a century ago that the United States was born, really, right? But that didn't come easy, did it? It came through a lot of suffering, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of risk. A nation that was based on the ideals of liberty and responsibility, godliness, and the freedom to become what God had intended for us to become. This was a revolutionary idea, wasn't it? The celebration of our nation's birthday is really a celebration of freedom. Freedom from tyranny. We celebrate the precious gift that we have of freedom, but we have this freedom because of the price that others have paid. Isn't that right? It's a very expensive price that was paid, wouldn't you say? Freedom is not free, as our video showed us. Freedom is costly. It's expensive. It has a price. It costs some people everything, including their lives. Freedom isn't free, but it is infinitely, if you will, valuable. It is valuable. I've heard it said that democracy was forged in the furnace of sacrifice. Democracy was forged in the furnace of sacrifice. This ideal of freedom that we profess, that we promote, that we protect, is an ideal that our founding fathers believed in so much as to risk everything. They literally risked everything. They risked their fortunes. They risked their families, even, didn't they? They risked their reputations, and they risked their honor for the sake of freedom. Freedom is valuable. They risked their very lives, and many of them paid for our freedom with the blood, even of their children. Today, as we worship in security and comfort and in tradition, we do so because of the thousands that have gone on before us fighting for and protecting this freedom. They gave their lives and they shed their blood, sometimes and often on foreign soil. With freedom comes many good things, wouldn't you say? With freedom comes joy. With freedom comes peace. With freedom comes the possibility of success. But also with freedom comes responsibility. Because freedom without responsibility will end us up in a ditch. Okay? With freedom comes responsibility. Well, what kind of responsibility would we ask? What kind of responsibility does freedom demand? Responsibility to stand. Well, stand for what? Responsibility to stand for truth. Responsibility to stand for what is right. Responsibility to stand for those who have no voice. Responsibility to stand for justice. Responsibility to stand for freedom. In a letter that William Smith dated November 13, 1787, Thomas Jefferson wrote, "The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants." The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. What he's saying is there are times when this freedom needs to be protected. It needs to be protected. On our sign out in front of the church, you may have seen as you pulled in the driveway, it says, "Freedom is never free. Somehow, somewhere, someone paid." Freedom is never free. Somehow, somewhere, someone paid. Isn't that interesting? That's by Roger Hancock. The blood that has been spilled by young Americans in recent and past wars is not the first time that blood has been shed for the cause of freedom and justice, is it? In our young years, our nation has experienced a lot of bloodshed. As a matter of fact, the blood that was spilled on the battlefields, and you'll recognize these names, these towns, Concord, Charleston, and Yorktown, it was not the first time that blood was spilled for the cause of freedom. As a matter of fact, over 2,000 years ago, a young man's blood spilled upon the ground that we could all experience freedom. You had to know I was going there. Come on, right? Jesus came in order to bring us freedom. And I can't ever get through a message on freedom without me hearing Mel Gibson's voice. And what was that movie again? Well, The Patriot, but Braveheart as well. Both of them, freedom! You know, as he's screaming it out with all that he's worth as he breathes his last. As Christians, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah. And if you would turn with me to John chapter 8, verses 34 through 36. John chapter 8, verses 34, 36. Colin, get my glasses for me. Good boy. Good thing I got kids still around, huh? Jesus replied, this may be a different version. I tell you the truth, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave, well, he has no permanent place in the family, but a son, well, a son belongs to it forever. Speaking of a son, thank you very much. I owe you a donut. A son belongs to it forever. And because of that, if the son sets you free, being a slave, if this son who belongs to the family forever, now if this son sets you free, then what? You are free indeed. So unless the son sets us free, we remain slaves. Slaves to what? Slaves to sin. Okay? But if, being a slave, this son who belongs forever sets us free, then we are free indeed. Amen? In Romans chapter 8, you can turn there with me. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of what? Sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life that Jesus has brought us sets us free from the law of sin and of death. Well, why are we talking so much about sin and death? We're supposed to be talking about freedom. This is a day of celebration, of independence. Well, you can't have an independence without having some sort of bondage, can you? You must first be bound by something before you can be freed from something. Isn't that true? The Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. We celebrate during this 4th of July an independence that our nation grasped over 200 years ago. But this freedom, this independence is temporary. It's, in fact, possible that this freedom could be, God forbid, lost. We don't think about that much. We don't think about that much. There, God forbid, there could come a time when we have to defend our freedom and our independence. It's hard to think that way. Should we not, now I ask you this question, should we not daily celebrate our independence from the tyranny and bondage also of sin and of guilt and fear and death? So we celebrate a temporary freedom and independence from tyranny itself, right? But should we not also celebrate daily our freedom and independence from sin, from guilt, from fear, from accusation, because of the blood of Christ Jesus? An independence that was won, I would tell you, over 2,000 years ago on a cross. Should we not celebrate and discover the depths of an independence that will last for an eternity? Eternity.
How much more should we celebrate these things? When we are free, we are no longer carrying around our past. All right? Though sometimes we choose to, we don't need to. Why? Well, because we have been separated from that. All right? The Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, they are what? A new creation. All the old is gone. And it says, behold, look, everything is new. If we are in Christ, we are a new creation. No longer do we need to carry around guilt and fear, our former way of life, the ways that we used to think. We don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to carry the guilt of our sin because Christ carried it to the cross. And to the grave. You see, we died with Christ in the grave. And if we died with him, then we also rose with him. Our spirits, we rose with him. Maybe some of the things that you've carried around in your past life would be a failed marriage. Maybe you've failed at parenting. Maybe you failed financially. Maybe you failed at religion. It's just too hard to keep all those rules. Again and again and again, we've failed. And we tend to carry the guilt of our chains and our mistakes and our failures. And we carry those things around with us. And they would weigh us down. And they would pull our gaze down to the ground when we were meant to always look up. They would keep us as chickens pecking on the ground when we were raised to be eagles and soar. Do you remember what Brother Charles said? Are you a chicken or an eagle? Do you remember him with that strong voice of his? God rest his soul. He's in glory right now, friends. Your past sins are an anchor that holds you down. They hold you back. They keep you earthbound when our hearts were meant to soar, to reach the heights of the sky. We have been, in all senses of the word, forgiven. We have been washed clean in the blood of Jesus. He has been victorious over our sin. He has been victorious over the grave. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. Turn there with me. You awake today? All right. We can't have no sleeping. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, without the shedding of his blood, we would be lost in our sins, always trying to atone and make up for our sins. But because of the sacrifice that he paid once for all, the Bible says, on the cross, our sin debt has been paid in full. Our sin debt has been paid in full. And we are, because of Christ, victorious. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. We have Look at that. We have redemption through his blood. We have the forgiveness of sins. We have forgiveness in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Welcome, brother. Because of the work that Jesus did in winning our freedom, you don't have to carry your guilt around your neck anymore. No longer are you bearing the weight of your sin, your fear, your guilt of accusations. No, no more. Because of the work Christ did on the cross. So the God then that we sinned against cared so much about us. He loved us so much. And there's a scripture, John 3:16, and most of us can recite that. For God so loved the world that he gave what? His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent his only Son to come. And so because he came, he cuts away the guilt of our past, and he sets us free with forgiveness. And he gives us papers as if we were slaves. We have freedom papers that if anybody stops us and asks, what right do you have to say that you are free? I have papers. Jesus' name is written on my heart. I have been bought with a price, the Bible says. He paid the price. Wouldn't it be nice to know that we don't have to drag our past around with us? When we come to Jesus, the Son of God, he sets us free. And we are free indeed. Isn't that beautiful? Christ died in our place. You know, it should have been us. It should have been us on that cross. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, you can turn there. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is what? Death. Man, that's a harsh price. The wages of sin, according to the law of God, is death. It deserves consequences. It deserves punishment. But that scripture doesn't end there, praise God. It continues and it says, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is something good. It's eternal life. It's love and joy and together with the Lord. There are consequences of our sin, there is no doubt. There are consequences for our sin. It's the way it is. Sometimes we may, and we all hope to, escape the legal consequences, right? If we get caught speeding or we run a stop sign or a red light, we're going to get busted for it in most cases. All right? And when we get busted, we hope to be able to either know somebody in the police department or have a good rapport with the DA. But we're hoping to escape what we deserve, aren't we? Okay? We don't want our insurance rates to go up. We don't want to be paying more. We don't want our license revoked for whatever sin or whatever breaking of the law that we have done. We hope to get away with things, but there are consequences for our sin. Always. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then face the judgment, yeah? We will face the consequences. We will all stand before the judgment seat of God and give an account of our lives. Every careless word, the Bible says.
That's tough. That's tough. But the grace of God. The grace of God. You see, the difference is the spiritual part of things. We will pay the consequences of our actions here on this earth, okay? But the difference here is when it comes to all eternity, because we are in Christ, if we are in Christ, what does that mean to be in Christ? Well, if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he lived and he died as payment, gave himself as payment for my sin, and that he was put in a grave and he rose again on the third day. If we believe these things, we are in Christ, okay? We are in Christ. The Bible says, to them that believed, to them that received, he gave them the right to become what? Children of God. If we are in Christ, we are a new creation. In John, you don't need to turn there, but John chapter 19, it tells of Christ's death on the cross. And at the end, he finished with this. He brought everything to this. And he says, in the translation, it says, it is finished. Do you remember that? Or it is accomplished. It is finished. But you know what that means in the original text? That means it is paid. The debt is paid in full. Isn't that beautiful? What debt? Well, you see, we owe a debt to God for our sins. And had it not been for Jesus Christ on the cross, we would still be lost trying to pay for our sins. It is paid. The debt is paid in full. Yes, there are consequences for our sin. But the debt that we owe does not separate us from God anymore. And there's that scripture in the Bible that says, for I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor height nor depth, nor angels nor demons, nor this nor that or the other thing, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing. Not our sin. Well, you say, Pastor, I've lived a life of debauchery. I've lived a life of lawlessness. I've done this, I've done that. And you know what? If we believe that our sin is too great for God to cleanse, then we believe that Jesus died for nothing. Jesus died, and there's no sin. Say it with me. There's no sin that's too great that God's love can't erase. Isn't that beautiful? It is paid. The debt is paid in full. You see, because of this, we don't have to experience eternal death and damnation and separation from God. That's really what it's all about, isn't it? The separation from God, we don't want it. Call it whatever you want, but it's separation from God, and we don't want it. Jesus bridged that gap. Hallelujah. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 22, let's turn there. Chapter 1, verse 22. I love the word of God. Have I told you that? Verse 22. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death. Why? To present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Well, there's something maybe that we haven't thought much about, accusation. You see, if we're guilty, we are
able to be accused. And trust me, Satan loves to accuse the children of God. He loves to point the finger and say, look, look, they fell. They sinned against you. They mocked you. They used your name in vain. They did this when they're supposed to do this. Look, look how sinful they are. Look how dirty they are. The accuser of the brethren. But because Jesus has covered us, he has washed us clean, he has redeemed us, and he has reconciled us, he has put us back into right standing with God through his blood. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, let's turn there, this is important stuff. Romans chapter, listen, this is a good verse to memorize, okay? Do any of you memorize scripture? I'm always trying to memorize scripture, committing it to memory so that it's there just like that, just so that when my mouth opens, that's my prayer, that when my mouth opens, the word of God just comes out. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are what? In Christ Jesus. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That means that if somebody comes against you, the enemy comes against you, and he says, you are guilty. You are sinful. You are dirty. We have the blood of Jesus. Covers us and washes us clean. Are we guilty? Yes, we are. Will there be consequences? Yes, there will be. However, we will not be separated from God. Amen. We will not be separated from God. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Notice it says now. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's as if to say, there was a time before Christ, before we knew Christ, before we were in Christ, but now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I heard a story one time, and if you would permit me, I would like to tell you this story. There was once a boy, we'll call him Billy. His grandfather had a slingshot, and Billy wanted to use that slingshot. So he asked his grandfather, can you teach me? Can I use that? So grandpa said, sure, I'll teach you how to do it. So his grandfather took him out into the woods where it would be safe, and he taught him how to hold it and how to pull it back, how to aim and how to shoot, how to release. But the boy, no matter how hard he tried, couldn't hit anything with that slingshot. Have you ever tried to hit anything with a slingshot? I used to have a really nice one. I couldn't hit much with that thing. Okay? But I tried. I had a lot of fun with it. And the boy, no matter how hard he tried, he couldn't hit anything with that thing. He just kept missing every shot. And he got frustrated. So on his way back to the house, he had given up. On the way back to the house, he sees his grandfather's duck. And he says, well, I'm going to give this one more shot. And so he takes aim and he shoots at this duck, his grandpa's duck. Well, he hits that thing square and it knocks it right over. And that duck died right there. And so Billy's heart was just thumping out of his chest. Have you ever done anything like that? And you know that you're going to, one, you're going to be in trouble. And number two, you're hurting somebody that loved that. That was somebody else's. Maybe your mom had something dear in the house that was worth a lot. And maybe special to her. And you guys are, the boys are throwing the ball around in the house. And she's told them over and over and over, don't throw the ball in the house because something is going to break. And then something breaks. And what do? Well, you hide it, of course. Well, you try to glue it back together, of course. But mom, she always finds out. Doesn't she, Jody? So Billy walks back. He digs a hole and he buries this duck and he goes to stand up. And who's standing there? No, not Grandpa, but his sister. His older sister. Now, what do you think Sissy's going to do in this situation? So Billy says to Sis, "Sis, don't tell. Don't tell. I'll get in big trouble." And what does Sis say? "Okay. No problem. You can trust me." So they walk back to the house, and the next day, Grandpa says, "Billy, let's go fishing." Billy says, "Okay, I'll get my tackle box. Let's go." But Sally, his sister, says, "Billy doesn't like fishing, Grandpa. Grandma needs help in the kitchen. Billy loves helping in the kitchen. Don't you, Billy?" So Sis goes fishing. Billy's got to stay and help Grandma. Grandpa says, "Come on, Billy, let's go outside." And he tells Sally, "Sally, Grandma needs help weeding the flowers." Sally says, "Billy loves weeding the flowers. Billy loves weeding the flowers." So Sissy got to go outside, but Billy had to go weed the flowers. And so this went on for several days. Finally, after every unpleasant chore that Billy had to make up for, and his sister got to do all the fun stuff, finally he had had enough. And he was ready and decided to confess his crime to Grandpa. Well, he tells Grandpa what he did, what happened, and how he had covered it up. But much to his surprise, Grandpa said, "I know that you killed my duck. That duck was special to me. And I know that you killed him. I saw it. I saw you do it. And I saw you bury it. But I also saw Sally standing there watching you. And I forgave you, Billy, the moment it happened. But I wanted to see how long you would let yourself be your sister's slave. I wanted to see how long you would let yourself be your sister's slave. You see, when we don't turn to Jesus and confess our sin and allow him to cleanse us and remove our guilt, we are slaves to our past, to our guilt, and we are susceptible to accusation. Do you see how the enemy can use that? Does that story maybe help to clarify things a little bit? Satan, the accuser. When we come to Jesus, the Son of God, and we let him set us free, we are free from guilt. We are free from eternal consequences of the sin in our lives. We are free from accusation. We are free. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Amen. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Satan is called in Revelation 12:10 the accuser of the brethren. He is the accuser. He loves to accuse. Do you remember in Job how he went before the Lord and presented himself? Right? And God said to him, "Have you seen my servant Job? He obeys what I say. He lives upright. He helps." And he goes on and on. He's bragging about his boy Job. Well, Satan, what does he do? Blah, blah. He scoffs at him. Who wouldn't do all these things if you didn't bless him like you do? And he accuses him. He accuses him, God's loved one. Satan does the same thing to you. And without the covering of the blood of Jesus, we are susceptible to accusation. Just like Billy was susceptible because he didn't confess. His sister kept him enslaved. And she got him to do whatever she wanted because he hadn't confessed. We celebrate the freedom of our nation. Now we celebrate the sacrifice that was necessary for us to be free as a nation. But not only that, we celebrate that we are free from sin. That we can have that freedom in Christ Jesus if we place our trust in Him, if we surrender to Him. Jesus bled and He died. And He gave His life so that you and I could be free from all of those things. If you have not put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, won't you do that today? What better place? What better time to do that? On a celebration of freedom today, allow Christ Jesus to free you from your sins. Would you stand with me today? As we close, I want to give you the opportunity to come. Why would I do that? What does that mean? Well, we're just coming. We're making an expression, an outward expression of what God is doing in our hearts. Okay? And we're recognizing our need for a Savior. We're recognizing our sin. We know that we need a Savior. And so we're responding. We're responding to that. We're responding to the call of God. When He says, come, lay down your sin. Let me wash you clean.